Hi, my name's Roy Thompson. I head up MHA Carpenter Box Wealth Management, a firm of independent financial advisors. And in this podcast series, which forms part of the Retirement Gym, we're doing the coping with COVID. And this section will now look at how we can help individuals. I've got Calvin Richards with me. Calvin's a chartered financial planner. He's done a lot of work in the last month with very concerned individuals. Calvin, thanks very much for coming on.
Hi, Roy. Thank you for inviting me. Cheers.
So, yeah, I trust you can hear okay. As I say, the communication is a little bit strange when you're doing everything remotely.
There's rarely any getting away from your voice, Roy. I can definitely hear you fine.
That's very kind. So Calvin, you're at the cold face, as it were. You're dealing with individuals, and lots has been going on in the investment world and with people's personal finances. Have you got anything in particular that people are asking about or that are concerned about? I would guess the investment markets would be one thing.
Yes, certainly. I've had quite a few conversations, both when we first started giving comments from investment managers that investment funds were falling. That led to some concerns from people that already had money invested. But then even beyond that, I've had some conversations with people who were perhaps not invested at the point where markets reacted to COVID. And they've been asking questions about whether they should get involved in investment. So there's almost two polarizing groups that we've been dealing with and trying to help and assist through this period.
Okay, and what sort of things? So if we break those two down, if you're an existing investor and you've got money invested, what are the thought process of someone in that position? And I guess what sort of things should they be seeking to do to try and protect themselves as much as possible?
Yeah, at the moment, a lot of these people are in a position where if they've been invested, they've probably already suffered a downturn or at least some loss of some of the growth that they've received in their investment. The articles that we see in the newspapers talking about a 30% drop in America or even a 30% in here in the UK, that focus on a very narrow type of investment or type of asset. So what we're seeing from our own investors that perhaps we've given advice on to go into a diversified portfolio is that the drops that they've experienced aren't nearly as high or as hard as the drops that hit the newspapers. Having said that, someone who has experienced a drop in their investment may be concerned about whether they should disinvest, maybe they should take their money out, or maybe they should put more money in. Our view when we look at the each individual client, and this is an individual basis, is that often a lot of our clients would have invested for a long period of time. And if they're still years or even decades away from that event that would see them try to use that money for a purpose, such as retirement, there's no real need for them to have a strong knee-jerk reaction to something going on in the markets. Certainly, investment volatility is something we should expect to see. And investment volatility is part of the reason that people get a better growth rate through their investments than they get through bank interest, because they get rewarded for the risk they take. So the message really has been to most of our investors that have had funds that have seen perhaps drops is to really just remind them of the reason that they invest in the first place, remind them of some of the conversations perhaps we had, and just make sure that their objectives haven't changed, because really fundamentally we should be looking to invest in line with what a person wants to achieve rather than because we think that the markets are a place to make a quick buck.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. I know myself from client conversations, there's an emotional consequence to your investments falling in value, but it's only when you cash them in that you crystallise that loss. So I've certainly been telling people if they've if they've got ongoing monies coming in by way of an income, or if they've got some cash reserves, that means that they if they did need to have access to that money, they can push that, the sale of the investments out for a period of time. Then if they're in that position, then they should be seeking to let the investments do their thing, which may mean that they fall a little bit further in value. But what we would hope although we can't guarantee, is that it, over a period of time, that there will be a recovery and those investments will go back up. So you mentioned that's people who are invested already. What about people who are perhaps considering investing? What sort of strategies can should they go for it, or should they refrain from making those investments, or what would they do?
Yeah, this really comes down to it. Again, it gets quite exciting when an individual feels that they want to enter the markets and they want to take advantage of all the opportunities they might hold. But one thing you've just mentioned is that we don't know at the moment if we've reached the bottom of the investment cycle, if investments will fall or not. It may be that in the coming weeks and months that we do see points that people's investments are worth less than they are now, even though our hope is they'll increase. There's a real, I suppose, going back to the objectives that people have of existing investors, someone going into the markets or considering investing ought to have the same sort of conversation with themselves and their advisor about what it is they're trying to achieve. We mentioned in the people that already invested group that those people should hold on to their investment if their objectives are a long way away. Anyone investing new money should have the same conversation. If their objectives are, I'm going to put some money away now for my future, and that future is years or decades away, then certainly there's an optimism that over many, many years, and in fact decades, that investment returns by investing ought to be better than those we see in cash. If someone who is looking to invest in the markets thinks that now might be an interesting time to go in, then really they should ask themselves what they're trying to achieve in exactly the same way that someone who already invested is. Once they've got past that point where they've decided if they want to invest, so maybe they have got some money and they know that they can put it away for the distant future. And there are a number of things that they can do to help protect themselves in the short term. They could decide to invest in a lower risk investment than they might normally. The good side of that is if the markets fall further, then of course they'll suffer less of a drop. But if the markets do recover and recover quickly, then they'll see obviously less of an increase. Another way that they could help to protect themselves, though, would be to pay in the money gradually over a period of time. Someone who's making an ISA contribution for the year could put £20,000 in on day one, or they could decide, actually, I'm going to make a contribution over a number of months. And they might decide to put the money in their ISA and then to have it invest in the markets at, you know, £1,000 or a couple of £1,000 per month. And that means that instead of buying all of their assets at one single price, they're buying it at a range of prices that could go up and down, and they get the benefit of the average. So that protects them a little bit from making sure that they're not buying assets that will, you know, necessarily fall in value. But it also softens, I suppose, any lift. If it does happen quite quickly, then they won't be fully invested. But that averaging gives them more of a sort of a blended way forward.
Certainly for those people who are looking to invest, that the conversations I've been having the last couple of weeks is that, if they make the choice to invest, and then actually what they might do is do exactly what you've just said and spread that investment over a period of time. It doesn't guarantee a better outcome in the long run, but it just makes it emotionally a little bit easier to accept that you're going to make that commitment to put money to the market. So those, Kelvin, I guess what we've spoken about is investors there. So people who've got money to invest or money already invested. There's going to be a lot of people perhaps listening who've sadly, seen a reduction in their income, either as an employee who has been put onto one of these furlough provisions that Dan speaks about, or perhaps someone who's just had a reduction in profits within their own business. What sort of things can people in that sort of situation start to consider to do?
Yeah, I think anyone in a position that has a reduction in their income, and this would be whether COVID has just happened or not, the lever that they can definitely pull is to have a look at their expenditure. Our hope is that clients that we've met over a number of years would probably have stuck away some emergency funds, may even have a new car or some, you know, house extension or something that they might delay, and that would give them a little bit more money to tide them over. But certainly, if someone isn't lucky enough to have a big ball of money available to solve a problem, then they can look at what they're spending money out on. I don't know about you, Roy, but having barely left the house in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, I haven't spent a lot of money over the period.
More to the point, I've got a family, so none of them have been out, and I haven't funded any of them going out either. So yeah, my outgoings have been considerably less, and I've even shaved my head, Calvin, which has reduced the cost of a barber's bill. So maybe that's a tactic that we could employ to save a bit of cash.
Well, as a long-standing baldy, I certainly sympathise with your position, although you will find it's easier to put a hat on when you're cold than it is to take your hair off when you're too hot. So
very true.
Might be a new way forward for you. So certainly we might find that naturally, if people have a reduction in their income, they might even find that at the moment when they're not out spending money and perhaps doing things that they would enjoy doing, that they might already sort of compensate for some of that loss of income just by being indoors. So beyond that, though, we all have things that we pay out for and that we spend money on day to day, and these might be things that we're not currently using. It could be something like a gym membership. It could be something, maybe even a daily newspaper, or it might be any number of things that we get delivered, or perhaps we can't access at the moment, that perhaps we maybe don't need so much. So if someone does have a look through their bank account, it's really easy to find these things. They're normally on direct debit. So you could have a look through your bank account, have a look at where you're paying money out to regularly, and if any of these things are things that you don't feel that you need, then of course, you know, you might be able to just turn them off for a few months until things settle down and income's restored.
Yeah, I've had a number of clients speaking to me about sort of things like nursery fees, private school fees. So I don't think there's anything in legislation that says that you know, they don't have to still charge you, but it might well be worth people having conversations if of course they're not receiving the service. So mortgage payment holidays as well, that's been quite well publicised. I guess the only thing that people should consider when they're thinking about mortgage payment holidays, all you're doing is adding the interest of the loan to be paid later. So, but it could be valuable from a cash flow point of view at the moment.
It could be. I think the main thing with both school fees, perhaps nurseries, and even the mortgage fees is that people should try and actively involve themselves in a conversation with the service provider. What people shouldn't do is think, oh, I don't want to pay my mortgage this month because I haven't got the income. They should make sure that they have contacted their bank, make sure that they understand what the steps are to apply for a holiday. We believe that the government are definitely encouraging and putting pressure on banks to make sure that people can do this. But these sort of things aren't necessarily an assumptive close. You shouldn't stop paying your mortgage without first getting agreement from the bank that that's going to happen for a period of time. Similarly with school fees and nursery fees, it's more of a case by case basis. But I would encourage anyone to speak to their school or their nursery, find out if there are any services that are still offering that you could access and gain value from. If not, are there any discounts? Or if not, is there something in the future that they benefit from? So I think that's the nice thing about being indoors. We've got plenty of time to have conversations on the phone.
Yeah, I think that's a big statement, actually. You know, quite often when we're challenged to pay something, we don't almost want to face it. And actually having a full and frank conversation, especially at the moment, is very powerful. And most service providers would actively listen and try to come to something that would be helpful to the individual. You know, and looks to maintain a longer term relationship. So I think that's right. I guess one of my other colleagues, he's done a bit of work with a number of his clients recently, trying to reclaim if they're higher rate taxpayers or were historically higher rate taxpayers. In some situations, there can be the ability for people to reclaim pension tax relief over the last number of years. So I think if you're in the position where you've paid higher rates of tax and you've paid into a pension, it's worth having a look to see if that's something you could benefit from. And certainly something that MHA Carpenter Box could assist with if needed. Kelvin, I don't know if you've had anyone who's gone through that process.
I think that's definitely the case. We're actually into the tax year end season for private individuals. But I'm sure Dan will be someone who'd be more of an expert in this area. But when we think about paying tax, particularly business owners, we kind of think about maybe the end of January being a key time of year. But certainly once the tax year ends, which is the 5th of April 2020 for this year, any day after that, someone could complete their tax return for the 1920 tax year. And certainly historically, the tax office have been keen to make sure that they both collect tax very quickly and indeed repay tax refunds to people. And you can do this online, government gateway password. You start entering details into the government website, and it's actually relatively intuitive. So if someone is in a position where they've maybe earned for 10 months of the year very strongly, but maybe the last month and a half, perhaps they haven't earned, maybe if they've been self-isolating for a longer period, they may have paid actually too much tax through the beginning part of the year, which may mean that they're due a partial refund for the overpayment in the few months that that haven't been. PAYE always assumes that someone's going to keep earning the same amount each month till the end of the year. So we're in that weird time of year where if people do have a reduction in earnings at this sort of time, that may actually be due a refund. You can wait for HMRC to give it back to you, and of course they will eventually, but if someone does need would benefit from a few hundred or thousand pounds, then I think that they should be encouraged to complete their tax return, find out if there's anything in there that they could get a refund on, which could be their pension contributions, it could be how much income they paid. There's no great penalty on this because the tax isn't due to be paid until next January anyway. So even by completing that return, you're not about to put a bigger headache into next month's locker just by doing that.
Yeah. So you're talking there about just your standard tax return. And if you've earned good amounts early in the year, you might have in effect overpaid tax. So the earlier that you put your tax return in, there may be a possibility to reclaim taxes. Mm. But I guess also if you've been paying into a pension on a regular basis over a period of a number of years and you haven't claimed your higher rate tax relief, it could be that you're entitled to some tax back from the revenue. So both those points are, I think, relevant and worth looking into if you're seeking to access some money. I guess the other thing that some individuals have spoken about already, they're in a kind of needs must scenario. So for whatever reason, they have very limited personal resources and they've started asking about whether they can access their pension money. So I think it's worth stating that if you're over 55, that's a possibility, but there are a number of considerations. It should be a last resort action. And there are a number of considerations that you might want to factor in. Kelvin, I don't know if you've had anyone speak to you about that at all or any particular comment.
I've had a few people that certainly in that camp where they are of an age. I've certainly had a few people that are looking at whether they want to contribute to pensions. Normally business owners might look at this time of year to contribute. You've mentioned that someone over the age of 55 is likely to be able to access some of their pension benefits, but we won't get into the technicalities of each different type of pension here, but certainly some pensions where someone saves into a pot through their working life, it's a defined contribution pension, they would know how much is in their pension pot because they would have received a statement probably earlier in the year. Somebody over the age of 55, if they are really struggling to put food on the table, of course that is an asset that they may be able to draw on. But we've discussed before, away from this conversation, that there are some technical considerations to an individual accessing their pension. For example, it may, if they've received a lot of money earlier in the year through income, it may exacerbate a tax situation this year. If they take more than their tax-free cash from a pension, they may restrict how much they can pay into a pension, perhaps when they resume work. So I think for most people, their retirement pot is something that that they look to take perhaps later in life. They look to take it at the point where they start to retire, or at least if they take it earlier, it's probably a very deliberate and pre-planned event that they might seek some advice over. So I'd be reticent to encourage someone to necessarily dive into your pension pot if you're over the age of 55. But as you've already mentioned, if someone's in a position where it's do or die, then of course it's an area that of significant savings for some that they may be able to look at to help them.
And you rightfully referenced a number of technical points. I guess people in this sort of situation can become, for want of a better word, a bit desperate, and they would rush to make a decision such as that. What you're really saying is, if you are at that point, yes, it's something that you could use, but it should be a last resort. And absolutely, an individual should get some guidance on there to understand how they would be affected from taking this action. And indeed, even if it's possible with their existing pension arrangements, I think that's perhaps what we would summarise from that.
Yeah, definitely. I think accessing a pension is not like wandering down to a cash machine and taking money out of it. It should at least be a planned event. So if you are getting to the point, as any listener of this, thinking maybe about their family members who, you know, what can they do to make sure that they've got something coming in, then there are a number of government agencies that can help give a little bit of generic guidance, like Pension Wise, or indeed a financial, like MHA Carpenter Box, can assist someone in giving a little bit of a helping hand and some ideas about what could be done. Certainly to spot those pitfalls before they're walked into.
Yeah. Okay. Calvin, that's been really useful. I think there's, you've raised a number of valid points. I think if I was to summarise them, if you're already invested, it's to try and remain calm. It can be a distressing time, but to try and remain calm. If you're considering investing, then there are a number of ways that you can do that to mitigate some of the risks that are involved at the moment, given what's happening with the coronavirus. And there's a number of activities or actions an individual can take if they're in a position where they're on reduced income, notably to review their spending, to consider the payment holidays, consider whether they can claim some tax back from the revenue. And if it's in a desperate scenario, there can be some perhaps additional resources through something like a pension that they could access if they're of a certain age. But they do need to be very considerate about that. So hopefully for all those people listening, that's been useful. Calvin, thank you for your time. And we'll speak to you again in the next podcast series. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Roy. Thank you.
So hopefully those two sections of the podcast have been useful for listeners. Should you need further resource, then I would point you to MHA Carpenter Box Coronavirus Hub, so which can be found at www.carpenterbox.com/coronavirus. Thank you for listening.